going the wrong way around and making that pass now.
Makes their way through turn number one and Freed is already out to a sizable lead.
Cadia all the way to the inside on Van Efren. I don't know. Look at, he's buttoned up right to the back of CJ Freed. Look at CJ again. Kyle and Walt heavy side by side. Great check. Here we go.
Checker flag is out. CJ Freed steals a win for Kyle Duke on the final lap.
What a pass by CJ Freed.
Unbelievable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm your host, Shane Stetsny, one of the announcers of the Champ Off-Road Series. On this episode, I will be joined by defending Pro 2 champion Kyle Kleiman. He's about to start his title defense against what I think might be the most loaded Pro 2 class that we've seen in off-road racing for sure in the last decade, if not much, much longer than that. We'll also break down all 5 tracks that we'll be racing on this summer in the Amsoil Championship Off-Road Series. And we look ahead to rounds 1 and 2 this weekend at Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway in Antigo. The season is finally here. We made it through the off-season. But first, as the presenting sponsor of our podcast, Amsoil wants to remind you to stop by Amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. Amsoil, run with us. All right, and running with us now on the podcast, it is Kyle Kleiman, defending Pro 2 champ here in the Champ Off-Road Series. Kyle, first of all, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a wild couple of weeks. You had a truck end up on fire. You were testing just a few days ago, and it's just about race weekend here in Antigo.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. It was pretty unfortunate during testing that we had that fire, and it did a significant amount of damage. So between my work schedule and getting the truck ready and kind of going through everything and make sure we're up to par it should be a really good season, I think, and I'm definitely going to embrace all the competition that's coming out, so it should be a good year.
Yeah, so you mentioned the fire. I mean, all that bad luck stuff aside, what does a normal, race week prep schedule look like for you?
Kind of juggling my work schedule is the biggest thing. I mean, currently I work a swing shift, so I could be on midnights, it could be on days. So juggling around that is my biggest challenge. But just pretty much tearing the truck down completely, checking over every inch of it. It's only one bolt that can take you out of a race. And literally, if I think we took any hard hits during a practice session or during the race or anything, that whole side will get completely checked over a little bit closer than the rest. Bolts will get changed. Times get changed. I mean, we comb over this thing really, really close because consistency is a pretty big key in winning championships. And I think we've been doing a pretty good job at keeping everything pretty consistent.
You talk about the amount of work that goes in, especially leading up to a race. You operate your own team, so how big is the crew that's actually helping you out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my crew is my family and friends, and I would not be here if it wasn't for those guys. It kind of varies. Some people got to work some weekends, so you could have 4 guys, you could have 1 guy, you could have 10 people at the next race. So it's like, kind of juggling how much manpower you're going to have is definitely a big part of all this and planning and trying to stay ahead and stay on top of that. But, like you said, I also do run my own program here. And, it's been a learning curve for sure. I mean, but I've really been surrounding myself with a lot of great people like Mikey Vandenhoevel, Billy from Pro Power, Charlie from ATD, all those guys. They always guide me in the right direction. And, I learned from my dad from when he was running his program. I just pick up on a lot of things and I keep a very open mind and I like to listen to the other guys. And if they have anything to say, I try to capitalize on stuff like that. So always trying to grow our program in the best possible way. And, you know, that's kind of what it's all about.
All right, you mentioned both of these guys. You almost read my question word for word off my sheet here. You got into off-road racing in Pro Light. You actually raced alongside your dad, who's a former champion in Super Stock Truck. So what are some of the things that you picked up from him, you know, on the racetrack, and some of those skills that help you operate your race team?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that would be the passion my dad put into off-road racing. And I, you know, that was kind of the main driving force. We're very passionate and hardworking, and nothing comes easy. I mean, that's kind of anything in life. If you want to succeed in it, you got to put in the work and do that. And that's kind of what I try to pick up on. And, you know, when it comes down to the track, I just, he was a very smooth driver. If you kind of watched him, he was always super late braking and coming into entries, and that's where you pick up a lot of speed. So I always try to watch things like that and consistency that he always carried, and just running a really good program at the level that he was at, and just kind of trying to feed off of everything like that. So.
And then the other person that you mentioned, Mike Vandenhoevel, he built the truck that you won your 2020 championship in. He also won a championship in that truck a few years back. So how valuable is that to you to have, first of all, such a brilliant off-road racing mind working for your team, but also working alongside you? He knows the truck as well as anybody else, and he also helps coach you a little bit as a driver. How valuable is he to you?
Oh, I mean, he's actually a really big part of our program. You know, and it starts off from Pro Light. We were kind of struggling with setup, just trying to get a ballpark of where we really needed to be. And that's when we got hooked up with Mikey. And, I mean, it showed very fast. I went from 1 year not knowing anything really, and then kind of hooking up with him. And then next year we won a championship in Pro Light, then another championship. And then, you know, I was like, I wanted to move up out of the Pro Light class into the Pro 2. And I was like, well, I mean, why not go with somebody that's already greatly improved our program? And you know, he's shown that he can, you know, drive a Pro 2, and he knows the setup, and he's very knowledgeable. The whole family's very knowledgeable. So, you know, it was a really big part. I'm super pumped to be with him and working with him. He's definitely taught me a lot over the years, and him being a spotter is a really big part of it too, because you can watch the truck. And, you know, our mindset is actually like, and our driving style is really similar. So it's kind of funny to just go back and forth on that kind of thing, and just how we connect on that level. But, you know, that truck is actually kind of an older Pro Light or Pro 2. And, you know, it's really been surprising me for its age and stuff. So maybe in a couple of years or something, we can get him to build another Pro 2. And I would really be curious to see what he can do with that. You know, the guy's a genius when it comes to designing and all that stuff. So
I really vividly remember having a conversation with Mikey when you were just about to make your Pro 2 debut a couple of years ago, and he said there's no way he can lose, because if you didn't do well in the truck, that just means Mikey's a brilliant driver, and if you do well, obviously it's because Mikey's a brilliant truck builder. He was joking with me about that, but you know, I guess you've proven him right as a truck builder.
No, absolutely. And I mean, we're always pushing the limits, and we're definitely not the guys that just want to follow suit on setups. Like maybe somebody else has something going for them, and people have a tendency to kind of copy that. And that's not really what we want to do. We kind of want to set our own trend and come up with our own ideas. And Mikey's got a very creative mind, and, you know, we made some changes to this track this year, and I was super pumped when we did get some laps. We actually turned some laps at Bark River, and the guys over at Race Driven kind of, you know, they definitely helped me out. They had the track rented that day, and I kind of snuck in with them, and so, you know, big thanks to those guys over there. But, you know, just with a couple laps that we threw down and the changes that we made to the front end was I was super pumped about it, and I'm definitely excited for this year.
All right, so quickly to jump back to last year, it was only your second year in Pro 2. You won the final points race of the year that clinched you the points championship over Keegan Kincaid, and then you went on to win the Potawatomi Chairman's Cup Shootout race later that afternoon at Crandon. Going into last year, did you have the sense that you were going to accomplish so much in only your second year in Pro 2?
I guess probably not to that extent. I mean, when I go into something, I definitely, like, losing, I'm a very competitive person, and that's kind of how our family always was. So losing really isn't an option in my mindset. It's just get better and make things happen. If there's a will, there's a way. That's kind of always the quote that I always kind of wanted to live by. But, you know, last year, I was just still learning, getting used to the truck. I mean, I always drove with a shifter on the right side. Mikey has his shifters on the left side all the time. So, and just the way the truck was set up, it was a little different than what I typically used to. So I kind of had to adapt my driving to the truck. And, you know, we definitely made it work last year. And I think this off season, we kind of started to fine tune that. Let's kind of get the truck to form to my driving style and what I want the truck to be able to do. And that's what we ended up doing. So we switched the shifter back to the right side. And we made some suspension changes that I'm definitely happy with. So, yeah, coming into winning the championship too, I mean, that was down to the final wire, and I had to win to get that championship. And I love that kind of pressure. It's always fun. And racing with Keegan and all the other guys in the class was definitely a really good time throughout the year. And, you know, to finish it off with that cup race, I was a little shocked, you know. I didn't expect that because we kind of took that race as more of a test session. There's a lot of variables as a driver and a team owner that you have to, you know, factor into these kind of decisions. And I would say it's probably the best test session that I've ever had. I mean, coming out and winning like we did was definitely a statement in my eyes.
Okay, so you specifically mentioned by name that it was satisfying to beat Keegan. Is the rivalry that everybody thinks is there, is that a real rivalry between you and Keegan? Do you race him any differently than you race anybody else, or is he just another competitor in a full field?
No, I think there's a rivalry there. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of respect, though, too. Like, I'm not going to smash him, and I know he's not going to smash me. We've always had really good racing, but you have, you know, two prospects that are very good in a truck, I think, and people kind of wanted to see that. You know, me being from Bark River, where there's a pretty prominent track, and him being from Crandon, where there's a prominent track, I think that kind of fuels some of that rivalry. And
both sons of sorry to cut in on you, both sons of championship winning drivers too. I mean, the parallels are obviously, there's a lot of parallels between the two of you. I think that's why people think that maybe the rivalry between you two, it has to happen, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I wish my dad had the opportunities that I've been given, and I think it would have been made everything that much better. But, yeah, I think that's what the sport needs is that rivalry. And, you know, I look forward to this year. I know he's going to come out swinging because he doesn't like losing either. And it's going to be fun. I like racing against him. I have a lot of respect for him. So it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, so trying to defend your title here in the Amsoil Championship Off-Road Series for 2021, not only do you have to outrun Keegan, but you've also got Mickey Thomas, who's back with a brand new truck. You've got Corey Winter, fully healed from that back injury. Ryan Beat's going to be here full-time. Jarrett Brooks is coming out. We saw on Instagram that Brian Deegan is actually teasing showing up at Antigo. How do you stay focused on your goals, knowing that, you know, such an enormous stacked field of some of the best off-road racers in the world are coming to take your spot?
You know, I love it. I love the competition, and, you know, if we can raise the bar, let's raise the bar. I'm all about it. And, you know, when I set goals, I strive to reach them, and that's what I've been doing. And, you know, feel like I'm starting to run out of goals to achieve at this point, but, it's been really fun. I love racing against all these guys. You know, it's really cool to see everybody grow and get faster as they're, the more time they have into the trucks and in the series and more seat time. So it's really fun to be a part of. I think we have a really good thing going, and Champ Off-Road has been doing a really good job with running the series and everything. So it's, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't really get distracted too much by who comes out or whatnot. That's their choice, but we just need to go out and lay some fast laps every time we hit the track and be consistent.
Yeah, that sounds like a great approach to 2021. So, Kyle, on the first episode of the podcast a couple weeks ago, I promised that I'd talk a little bit about each of the tracks that we're going to race at. If you have a couple minutes, I'd love to have you stick around and maybe give me your thoughts on all five tracks that we'll race on this year. Does that sound good? All right, so first to kick things off, hey, we finally made it through the off season. This weekend we're going to Antigo, the Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway. It's a tight, built on a half-mile clay oval, the classic bullring style track. So how do you approach a track that most guys haven't even seen and nobody's raced on?
I think that's the best part, because I'm all about technical tracks, and if people don't have any time on them, and we all got to learn, it's a really fast learning curve. So I think it's really going to be interesting. Nobody really knows where to set a baseline for a setup. And, you know, I think it's definitely cool that my dad used to race there, and getting back to that. I think the guys in the Midwest might have a little advantage, because we have raced on some of these oval tracks where we go into the infield and stuff. So we kind of have a gist of what it might be like, but you know, there's still going to be a lot of variables into a new track.
Worth pointing out, too, that Mikey, your number one crew guy, he was pretty formidable back in the light buggy class back in the day in Antigo. I remember him picking up a bunch of wins there as well.
Yeah, that's something I'll just have in the tool bag. Mikey knows how to get around a track. He always has. And we definitely have, you know, it kind of goes back to having that same mindset when it comes to the track. We kind of end up playing out the same lines. And if I'm thinking anything like he's thinking, I think we'll be able to get around this track pretty good.
And then moving on from Antigo, the next race after that, the first weekend at Crandon, that's in June, late June. Complete opposite of Antigo, rolling terrain, super high speed. And, you know, last year you had quite a bit of success there, at least at the second Crandon weekend. What's the key to winning races at more of a super speedway style track?
I think, you know, Chuck said it plays a lot of factor, you know, with big corners and big jumps and just a lot of speed. You got to really carry your momentum in a lot of different areas. And, you know, it's tough. Like, you have to be very, very consistent at Crandon. And one little bobble can take you out of your own position. So everybody's stacked on top of each other, kind of just waiting for those moments. And, you know, I love the facility. I love the people there, the history. You know, you can't ignore or deny anything that's happened there. So I love racing there, too. It's a fun track. It's unique in its own way. And it's definitely a track that you have to be on your game. And that land rush start, man, that could make or break an entire race. You gotta go all out. And, you know, it's who can hold it the longest going into that corner one. So it's that's always a good time.
And then after Crandon, 2 weeks later, July 9th and 10th, we go to ERX Motor Park. To me, that track just has a little bit of everything. It's constant elevation changes. It's a variety of tight corners, sweeping corners. And you picked up two of your four points race wins there last season. What do you think gives you an advantage over the field at ERX?
I think the track just being technical, you know, me loving technical tracks and kind of putting that in my own hands instead of maybe having the most perfect setup, you can kind of squeeze away with not having a truck dialed in. You know, I think the Carlsons did a really good job with this facility, and they have a really good track. I love the dirt compound that they have there. I mean, you get some blue groove, but you always have that cushion, and coming from a motocross background, you kind of got to play those ruts and the rhythm section and these banked corners and everything. You have a little bit of everything, so there's a lot of technicality when you're at ERX, and it's a really fun track to drive and be at.
After ERX, we move on to Dirt City in Lena, Wisconsin, July 31st and August 1st. Now, that's a track that's only a couple years old. It was built by racers for sportsmen and side-by-side racing originally. It's been widened a little bit, but it's still a really narrow track, tight and technical. How do you manage, you know, battling traffic in a full-size truck on such a tight, narrow track?
Yeah, and that's kind of weird because, like, I was thinking the same thing when we first raced there, but once you get on the track, there's like so many options that you can have to pass. And you know, that just kind of comes in where a racer, you know, maybe had some leeway on certain lines and such that kind of open up those opportunities to make passing lanes. So it, even though it is kind of tighter, that's just kind of is what it is. And hopefully I think they'll just grow as the years go on, but it's a technical track too. It's fun. It's tight. It's a track that maybe your setup doesn't need to be on point, but you can kind of just make up some time by your own driving style or something like that. So it's definitely fun to be there.
After Dirt City on our schedule for the Amsoil Championship Off-Road Series, we move on to Bark River. It's your hometown track. How excited are you to be back racing in front of your hometown crowd at the track that's just down the road from your house after 2020 was canceled on us?
Yeah, I mean, it was a super bummer that we weren't able to get out there last year. And, you know, it just is what it is. We all had to deal with it. And, you know, coming back this year, just a couple laps that I burned down on, I was like, oh, man, this is my holy grail here. Like, I love this track so much. You know, it's not just the facilities, the Lions Club, but, you know, the fans and everything there. But that's a technical track, too. And I don't think a lot of people understand how technical it can be with that cemetery corner being off camber, the S turn before the big jump. Like, those are small things that you really have to dial in if you want to make time here. And, you know, it's definitely be living in the area and knowing the dirt and stuff, it kind of suits in my favor. I'm super pumped to be back here. It's probably one of my favorite tracks. There's a lot of technicality to it. So I'm pumped to be back.
And then to wrap our season here in 2021, we head back to Crandon Labor Day weekend for World Cup weekend. You've grown up around off-road racing just like I have. Can you think of a better place to be on Labor Day weekend than in Crandon?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't even know if I even know of anywhere else to be besides Crandon, because that's what I'm doing every year. So it's, there's so many people there, and the atmosphere is just, everybody's so kind and nice, and everybody there has fun and enjoys this great sport that we are all involved in. And, the competition is just through the roof, and all the prize money that we have an opportunity to win and everything like that. It's definitely a weekend that will make a lot of memories in a good way, or it could be in a bad way. You never know. So it's always interesting going there for sure.
Yeah, and it, as we've said throughout this discussion, it promises to be a fantastic year of racing in Pro 2 and across all our classes. One last question for you, Kyle. Any predictions heading into Antigo this weekend?
not really. I think there's going to be a lot of close racing, maybe some door banging, and I think we're just all there to put on a good show for the crowd, so it's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Kyle, for joining us on the Amsoil Championship Off-Road Podcast, and best of luck to you this weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and let's get this season started.
Race fans, don't forget, racing this weekend in Antigo will be live on champoffroad.com. Plus, 6 hours of racing coverage this year are going to be on CBS Sports. More info on that and scheduling information especially will be available soon. Follow the AMSOIL Championship Off-Road Series on Facebook at Championship Off-Road. On Twitter at Champs Off-Road. That's one word, but there is an S after Champ, so it's Champs Off-Road. And on Instagram at Champ Off-Road. The next time you hear from me, it'll be at Round 1. We'll see you this weekend live from Antigo Lines Roaring Raceway as we kick off the 2021 season for AMSOIL Championship Off-Road. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.